Good morning. A Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. A couple of weeks just over from a presidential election. Here's the top story in the Washington Post this morning, Alan. Biden lead fuels an uncomfortable sense of deja vu. Democratic voters, party officials, and campaign aides are caught between optimism and dread, the residue of seeing Hillary Clinton's expectations of victory dashed.
Well, there are a couple of things here. Number one, Biden is not making the same mistakes. He's going to the key states that Hillary lost. Number two, Biden ain't Hillary. He's a different person. There were a lot of people who had different thinking about Hillary. There were people who loved her, and then there were people who really didn't like her. You don't find that many people with Biden who don't like him. And so it really does confirm that there are an awful lot of people out there who are voting early, a lot of young people. They're standing in lines. They're standing 6 feet apart. They're waiting for hours in order to vote. And the initial polling is that it's basically a pro-Biden group. And so that while he's ahead, we think right now, the Democrats have a big problem. They don't want to appear overconfident. They don't want young people who traditionally have not voted the way that a lot of people think they ought to start malingering. They just want everybody out there. So it's a mistake to say we're way ahead or we're ahead and we're ahead in the polls because it engenders overconfidence, and overconfidence means people stay home. On the other hand, you have the so-called bandwagon effect, which is that a lot of Democrats go out and they vote because they think that their side is winning. Not only that, a lot of other people go out and want to be on the winning side, and that's the so-called bandwagon. So it's a mix, and you have to do both. You have to say we're confident, we think we're winning, but at the same time, you have to throw into the mix this idea that Hillary lost because of overconfidence, and we can't do that.
Is it also part of the anxiety that Hillary indeed did win the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College? You point out again that Biden is going to those key states, and they look like many of them are in his favor. But what about this idea, we know it, that the president keeps saying, well, I'm not sure about a peaceful transfer of power, and if I lose the election, it'll be rigged.
That's right. And it is what scares the hell out of so many people. People are saying, what if he goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court votes 6-3 to keep this guy in power, even though he's lost the election? And they throw out, for example, every vote that comes in through the mail and say, the president's right, mail-in ballots are too risky. The Supreme Court, if it does that, of course, it knocks the stuffing out of itself. I'm sure John Roberts will not put up with that. But we do know that there are people on that court who we suspect, people like Alito, Clarence Thomas, and others, who will do whatever they have to do in order to get this guy elected. Now, I could be wrong. We could have the presidential tapes of the Nixon administration where the vote was unanimous against Nixon. So what we have now is basically a crapshoot where people are worried that this is the end of democracy in this country and of peaceful transition of power. And they're afraid of the Supreme Court, and they are afraid of this president who said and bragged that he wanted his latest nominee Barrett on the court because she would be a vote for him if he had to go to that court. It's really very, very frightening.
Speaking of frightening, the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, as well as the Virginia governor, we're now learning. Now the president out on the stump saying, lock them all up, including the Michigan governor and his other perceived enemies.
David, that's the way what is a fledgling, even though we have the longest lived constitution, probably now written constitution, that's the way it happens. A dictator comes along, you can call him Mussolini, you can call him Tojo, and they come along and they try to upset the apple cart. Americans are scared that this is what's happening now. And let me tell you, if the Democrats are elected, if they take the Senate, I sure hope that some additional protections, now that we've seen how this is operating in this country, will be taken.
Meantime, we have coronavirus continuing to grow. And the top infectious disease expert, Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, on NBC's Meet the Press, he said the next 6 to 12 weeks will be the darkest of the entire pandemic, and he blasted Scott Atlas and his herd immunity claims as pixie dust. And you've been talking about this herd immunity as a result of this declaration, so-called, in Great Barrington.
The so-called is right. A bunch of people with fancy initials after their names proving once again that you can be stupid and have a lot of education. The idea that you would just just let everybody in this country get infected, and the ones who died just died. You know, I've written a column on this very subject, and it is a horror that Great Barrington has had its name attached to this. The people in Great Barrington, the people I know, are furious. Petitions are being thought of, and people are writing letters to the paper and saying, not my Great Barrington. Who the hell do you think you are coming in here and saying this is the way that Great Barrington feels, because that's what a Great Barrington declaration would be. So I think it's time for a greater Great Barrington declaration, which says, not on my turf, you don't do this.
And to the larger issue of the next 6 to 12 weeks, people seem to have this fatigue for the pandemic. And you see a lot of people, and I've read about it, you know, failing to do the right things.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we're having this increase, David, now in cases. It's because of this fatigue. It's because people say, oh, the heck with it. If I get it, I get it. But when they get it, they don't like it. And we have seen people one after another, including the former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, saying it was a mistake not to wear a mask. You know, when you get it and your lungs are bursting and you're lying in bed and you're trying to make a deal with the heavenly forces because you were so stupid that you would not wear a mask when you needed to. I think everybody's reminded now that people are going to be congregating inside their houses, inside places, that this is no time to say, I can't deal with this, because it only takes 1 second to get that virus in your system.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us on a Monday.
David, thanks for getting up so early in the morning, and thanks everybody for listening.